In 1970, a television program debuted that changed the way millions of people looked at faith. The Hour of Power.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice.
And today, the Hour of Power continues with a new voice for a new generation.
When you put your trust in God, nothing can stop you.
Because whatever your circumstance or the obstacles you face, this moment can be your Hour of Power.
Goedemorgen en heel hartelijk welkom bij Hour of Power. En in het bijzonder doe ik namens ons team van Hour of Power de hartelijke groeten aan de mensen die in het ziekenhuis kijken of in het bejaardenhuis die het misschien niet zo makkelijk hebben. En een bijzondere groet aan iedereen die het wat moeilijker heeft. Bobby Schuller spreekt over leven in verwondering. En kunnen we ons nog in deze tijd verwonderen over alles wat in deze wereld aan goede dingen gebeurt? En daarover gaat Bobby Schuller spreken. Natuurlijk ook veel muziek hier bij Hour of Power. Troy St. James van de New York Gospel Singers. Hij doet mee aan de Bobby Tour en is een zeer inspirerende jongeman. Je gaat zo meteen kennis met hem maken. Ken Miedema, de blinde zanger, zingt in Shepherd Grove. Onder andere een prachtig lied uit Prediker over dat er voor alles een tijd is. En trouwe kijkers van Hour of Power, onze donateurs, hebben ons mooie tijdschrift afgelopen vrijdag op de mat gekregen, zoals dat zo netjes heet, of door de brievenbus. En dit magazine kun je ook aanvragen voor vrienden. Daar hoop ik straks aan het einde van de uitzending meer over te vertellen. Overigens is dit Sarah Grand Prix die naar Nederland komt. Iedereen hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power en ik hoop dat je ervan geniet.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
We are so thrilled to have you here today. We pray that you leave here fully equipped to live a wondrous life, fully alive with our God. Would you turn around and shake the hand of the person next to you and say, God loves you and so do I.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so glad you're here today, and I think that whatever it is you're bringing today to church, we believe in the power of God to break every chain and to give you the power that you need to endure this week and to have an awesome week, because we're going to believe for that. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come as your disciples. We trust our life to you. Lord, we pray that this week we'd be happy and whole students of Jesus in everything we do, and we pray, Father, that you teach us to love you and to love our neighbor with all our heart. Father, you're building us. We repent of our sin. We ask that you lift us and help us to be the kind of Jesus people that this world needs. We ask that in your son's name. Amen.
may be seated. In preparation for Bobby's message, the words of our Lord found in Job. But ask the animals, and they will teach you, or the birds in the sky, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish in the sea inform you. Which of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind. May we take delight in our awe-filled lives with God.
My guest today is Chris Horst from Hope International. As Vice President of Development, Chris works closely with new and existing supporters of Hope International, sharing the story of his organization as well as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you please welcome with me this morning, Chris Horst?
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Good. Happy to be here.
Great. Thanks.
So you have a real passion for missions. And this has been something that has compelled you to want to work and serve others. And tell us, how did that get you to Hope International?
You know, it really started with my older brother, Matthew. He was born with special needs, unable to read or do a lot of the things that has come second nature to a lot of us. But over the course of his life, a lot of people assumed that what Matthew needed was charity. But what I experienced as his brother is that what he wanted is what all of us want, dignity and purpose and an opportunity to use the gifts and abilities that God's given him. And so he got that opportunity 17 years ago to work in a full-time job at Costco. And what a funny thing that a gift like a job at Costco would be something that was so redeeming. But it's been an incredible way for Matthew to both use the gifts God's given him and for others to be able to see in him the reflection of Christ in his life. Yeah. And so my experience with Matthew led me to work at Hope International, where instead of providing things for people around the world, those that are in need, we provide an opportunity for them to work in places like Congo and Haiti and use the gifts and abilities they've been given while we're introducing them to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's a big part of Hope International. If you're not familiar with Hope International, they're doing all sorts of work, just as you said. Jeff...
Rutt,
yeah, when he went to, I believe it was Ukraine.
That's right.
They were saying, stop just bringing all this food. You're destroying our economy. Help us rebuild it. And that's really what Hope International does.
That's right, yeah. Today, in 16 countries around the world, nearly 1 million people are getting the opportunities to work and use their skills and abilities to start small businesses and provide for their families.
Yeah. So the reason we wanted you here is, I mean, a lot of people are talking about this new book you've written, Mission Drift. And just tell us a little bit about that and how Hope International kind of helped you build this book.
Well, in working in fundraising, one of the things that happens often is we have conversations with donors. And a few years ago, my president at Hope International, Peter Greer, had a conversation with the foundation who said, we want to fund your work. We want to give you lots of money to do this work of helping small business owners around the world. Yeah. But we're not comfortable with the Jesus Christ element of the work you're doing. We love the business part, but we don't like the faith side of it.
Yeah.
And so we had a decision to make. Were we going to accept the funding? We needed the money. We were cash strapped. Or were we going to say no to the money because that wasn't the mission that we've been entrusted to? Yeah. And so out of that process, we started talking to our peer organizations and realized that this is not something that is new or unique to Hope. Faith-based organizations of all varieties face these pressures internally and externally to drift from their mission and lose sight of what they were created to do.
So what did you decide to do?
So we decided to turn down the funding, thankfully. Yeah. We said that we appreciated their offer for generosity, but we can't separate the work that we do from the proclamation of the gospel.
Did they understand that decision?
The conversation honestly provided an opportunity for us to say, we are a faith-based organization, and here is why that matters to the work that we do. For us to say yes to that funding would really be saying no to who we were.
Yeah.
And so we had to say no, even though it created more financial hardship.
And so you're passionate then about helping organizations figure out how to make those kinds of decisions based on their mission.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Through Mission Drift and through our work at Hope, we want to be a cheerleader for faith-based organizations and say, defining why you exist and why you do what you do and making your decisions from that point will allow you to flourish, even if it means that you aren't growing as quickly or into as many places as you might hope. Yeah. It's better to be faithful to the mission that God's entrusted to you than compromise and see your organization go off course.
Yeah, and how does this book help someone that's not, you know, not an organization, for example?
Right, yeah. The principles of the book, we think, apply both organizationally and personally. And while the book is written to leaders of organizations, we've had a lot of people talk about how it's helped them in their marriages and helped them in their own faith journeys to say the default trend or the drift that will occur in my life, the natural course is for me to fall away from God, for me to lose intentionality in my marriage, to not care so much about the things that are most central in my life. And so the book's principles will hopefully challenge people at all stages of life to embrace those things, the why in their own lives.
The book is called Mission Drift, The Unspoken Crisis Facing Leaders, Charities, and Churches. Chris Horst, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're praying for you and Hope International.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
Everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season and a time for time to sit by a lazy lake and watch the waves making love to the shore. I want time
Time to stand in the jet black night and watch the stars as they dance across the sky. I want time. Time to watch a tiny baby sleeping. Time to hold a little girl who's weeping. Time to sit with the old man when he's dying, or watch the young birds learn the art of flying. I don't want much, I just want time. This time. Time to stop or time to dance. Time to be safe or take a chance. Time to give and time to take. Time to mend and time. Time to learn the wisdom of the ages. Time to learn the wisdom of a child. I want time. Time to see the colors of the rainbow. Time to walk into the coming night. I want time. Time to feel a thousand new emotions. Time to give my heart in deep devotion. Time for grief and time for pain and sorrow. Time to rise and face my new tomorrow. I don't want much, I just want time. Oh, I don't want much, I just want time. Lord, I don't want much, I just want time, this time. To everything there is a season.
Thank you for being here today. What a gift.
En dat was de blinde zanger Ken Miedema, regelmatig de gast in Hour of Power. Vroeger in de christelijke cathedral, want de grootvader van Bobby was heel erg ingenomen met deze fantastische zanger die zo bewogen kan zingen. En hij zong Time, gebaseerd op het boek Prediker. En dat pak ik er toch even bij, want heel veel mensen zeggen, nou ja, ik lees eigenlijk nooit in de Bijbel, want heeft het nou wat voor me? Nou, moet je eens luisteren naar woorden die Salomo 3000 jaar geleden opschreef. Voor alles is een tijd. Een tijd om te worden geboren en een tijd om te sterven. Een tijd om te planten en een tijd om te oogsten. Een tijd om te doden en een tijd om te genezen. Een tijd om te verwoesten en een tijd om te herbouwen. Dan gaat het de hele tijd door. Een tijd om te lachen en een tijd om te huilen. En wat ik heel mooi vind, dat er ook een tijd is om oorlog te voeren. En dat er een tijd komt van vrede. Vrede voor altijd. Lees het eens in de Bijbel. Ik was vorig jaar in Zoetermeer. Vrienden hadden me uitgenodigd. Voor de New York Gospel Singers. En ik was echt helemaal weg van wat ik daar zag. En de man achter, het brein achter de New York Gospel Singers, zit hier op de bank. En hij gaat meewerken aan het tournee van Out of Power met zijn gospel singers. En zijn naam is Troyson James. Troyson, je bent muzikus, je bent... Je schrijft, je bent producer. In december heb je een enorm optreden in de Heineken Hall. Ja. En je bent nog maar 28.
Dat klopt, ja.
Lekker jong.
Ja.
Heel erg enthousiast, hè?
Ja, moet wel, hè? Ja.
Laten we nou eerst eens een stukje zien van Troy St. James en de New York Gospel Singers. Want ik denk dat iedereen heel nieuwsgierig is.
Ja.
Hartstikke leuk. Je gaat ook met jouw zang- en muziekgroep kom je op onze avonden meewerken, behalve in Gouda, want dat past niet zo in de Sint-Jan. Ja. Hoe ben je op het idee gekomen om Troy St. James en de New York Gospel Singers op te richten?
7, 8 jaar geleden was ik in Duitsland, heb ik een gospeltour gedaan. En ik vond van in Nederland mis zoiets, zo'n genre, echt in de theaters dan. Dus het was echt met toga's, OEPD, echt de traditional gospels. Dus ik dacht, ik ga dat combineren met iets jongs. We zijn jonge mensen, de meeste zijn rond de 25, rond de 30 jaar.
En, zo van mijn leeftijd.
Jouw leeftijd, dus je zou zo mee kunnen meedoen. En dan heb ik dat samengevoegd. En dan heb ik dus echt een gospelproductie in elkaar gezet. We gebruiken veel invloeden van echt de New Yorkse gospelkerken. En dat brengen we dan in elke stad, in elke theater. En het is echt het is een avond om... om niet te zitten, nee. Dus om echt om te staan en te dansen. Ja.
Ja, ik vind het heel leuk. Je gaat op de avonden met Bobby Schulen in Drachten en in Veenendaal de bekende gospel zingen als Oh Happy Day, Amen en Go Tell It on the Mountains.
Ja.
Zullen we daar nog even een stukje van bekijken?
Ja, dat is goed.
Zo'n prachtig lied, een kerstlied, maar het is eigenlijk voor elke dag. Vertel het aan de heuvels, aan de bergen. Jezus Christus is geboren.
Ja.
Wie is hij voor jou?
Alles, ja. En ik vind het belangrijk dat men toch wel een houvast heeft in het leven. De laatste tijd zie je allemaal rare dingen op het nieuws. En dan brengen we zo'n een fantastische shows dat er toch wel meer is in het leven. We willen toch het goede boodschap overbrengen. Je hoeft niet eens echt heel wat te zeggen tegen mensen van ja, je moet dit, je moet dat. Wij doen het door middel van zang en dans. Ja.
Je bent opgegroeid in een Surinaams gezin.
Ja.
Ging trouw naar de kerk.
Ja.
Waarschijnlijk zei je moeder ook tegen je moet dit en je moet dat.
Ja, ga piano spelen. Ja.
En op een gegeven moment was je dat zat.
Ja, ik wou echt voetballen. Dat was dan op de zondag. En dan, mijn ouders zijn vrij streng. Nee, ze zeiden, nee, jij gaat gewoon piano spelen voor de kerk en... Dus toen ik 6 jaar was, hadden ze me eigenlijk direct op een muziekschool gezet. Maar ik ben niet echt een lieve jongen, dus na 4 jaar hebben ze me eigenlijk weer eruit gekikt. En dan, maar het was toch wel altijd bij me gebleven. Het was toch wel iets dat... het bleef. Het was toch een soort houvast, een uitlaatklep, muziek. En dan,
maar je moest verplicht in de kerk op de piano spelen?
Ja, ik heb eigenlijk op alle afdelingen gespeeld. Tieners, jeugd, vrouwendienst, mannendienst, preesteam.
Ja.
Maakt niet uit, straat.
Brave jongen.
Ja.
Maar het is ook een tijd geweest dat je zegt van nou even geen geloof en nou even God niet.
Ja, dat is je komt op de middelbare school, je bent een preacher's son noem je dat.
Ja.
En dan ga je alles uitzoeken, uitvogelen wat als je niet
wat thuis... Wat God verboden heeft.
Ja, wat als er thuis niks over wordt gesproken, dan ga je het zelf ontdekken.
Ja.
En dan, dan kom je in een andere wereld terecht.
En wat ontdekte je?
Nou, heel wat dingen. Ja, gewoon hoe het aan de andere kant zit. Ze noemen het de seculiere wereld. Maar ja, ik heb ook daar, ja, wat is andere wereld, ja.
Ja, ja. We zullen het er verder niet over
hebben. Ja.
Maar je was even geen brave jongen.
Ik was niet altijd braaf geweest.
Nee.
Nee. Nee.
Een van jouw grote dromen is, hè, na de gospelshow die je nu hebt gehad, om in december in de Heineken Muziekhal een enorm concert neer te zetten.
Ja.
Ik krijg er wel een uitnodiging, hè?
Ja, ja zeker. Goed, vooraan. Ja, eigenlijk een musical, om iets kort over te vertellen. Ja, we hebben, we hebben al 2 theatertours gehad in Nederland en het groeit alleen maar. Onze fanbase of mensen die ervan houden komen steeds terug. Het is echt een show of event voor iedereen, jong en oud. De mensen van 80 komen, jonge mensen van 20. En het is een jaarlijks event die we dan gaan organiseren in de Heineken Musical.
Hoe kom je erbij? Want je bent nog maar 28 om zo ondernemend te zijn.
Ja, ambitieus. Ja? En ik wil... je leeft maar 1 keer. En je moet alles uit het leven halen.
En in de Bijbel heeft Jezus over die 3 knechten die allemaal 1 talent kregen. Dat was een klomp zilver. En de een die groef het in de grond. En de volgende die ging ermee aan de slag, die maakte er 2 van.
Ja.
En er was nog iemand die ging echt ermee aan de slag. En die maakte van zijn ene klomp zilver 5.
Ja, maar dat is ook
In welke categorie val jij?
5. Nou ja, maar ik doe het ook met het team. We hebben gewoon met z'n allen gewoon een passie om iets groots neer te zetten. Ja. En iedereen heeft een talent en daar ben ik ook dankbaar voor. Ja. Ja. Ja.
Je kijkt naar Hour of Power. Wat vind je van Hour of Power?
Ja, kijk, wat ik mooi vind van Hour of Power, dat het sowieso op een RTL 5 is. Ja. Dat is een hele grote doelgroep, een bredere doelgroep. En hij is ook vergeleken met zijn grootvader, dat hij toch anders overbrengt.
Ja.
En dat is wel mooi, want het is toch wel een nieuwe tijdperk. Je moet ze toch anders gaan benaderen tegenwoordig.
Ja. Hoe moet je ze anders benaderen tegenwoordig? Want het woord van God verandert toch niet?
Het woord van God verandert niet, maar ja, mensen van tegenwoordig willen niet veroordeeld worden.
Nee?
Nee. Ze kennen de Bijbel, iedereen kent de Bijbel. In elke hotel, maakt niet uit waar je komt, staat er een Bijbel. Dus iedereen kent de Bijbel wel. Wat ik mooi vind van Bobby Shuler is dat hij het goede boodschap overbrengt. Gewoon het positieve wat je uit het leven kan halen in plaats van je moet dit of je moet dat.
Wat is jouw meest positieve verhaal uit de Bijbel? Dat raakte me.
Het verhaal van Jozef. Jozef, de dromenkoning. Dat is echt een inspirerend verhaal. Ook hoe het is gegaan en dat zie ik mezelf ook gaan. Hetzelfde...
Nou, het begon niet zo lekker met de broers waar hij zat en die gooiden hem in een put en die dachten van...
Ja, maar dat gebeurt ook met het leven.
Ja?
Ja, je kan het zo letterlijk vertalen in de tijd van nu.
Ja.
Ja, dat broers je gooien in een put en dan word je verkocht als een slaaf. Dat gebeurt ook in het leven. Ja. Ja. En je moet er steeds bovenop op komen en hou vast hebben, een droom die je krijgt.
Ja. Dan komt er een jongen naar je toe en die zegt, hey Troy, ik vond je show geweldig. Je hebt niet zoveel gepreekt, maar het ging wel over God.
Ja.
En wat heb ik daar nou aan? Bestaat hij en wat doe ik ermee?
Ja, die vraag krijg ik vaker wel. En zeker als, want er komen sowieso veel onbekeerden naar het theater. Dat is juist het mooie ervan. Ik vertel, sommigen geloven in Allah, sommigen geloven in Boeddha. Ik noem maar wel een naam voor. Maar Jezus is voor mij de weg, de waarheid en het leven. En het is ook een houvast waar je altijd naartoe kan gaan. In donkere tijden, maar ook in goede tijden. Ja.
Jij bent bij onze bijeenkomsten in Drachten en in Veenendaal.
Ja.
Vind je het leuk?
We zijn zeker blij om daar naartoe te gaan. Dus ik raad ook iedereen aan om eigenlijk te komen.
Ja.
En we zullen daar gewoon heel wat Oh Happy Days en Amazing Grace en allerlei nummers gaan we daar zingen voor alle mensen.
Prachtig.
Ja.
Nou, ik zie je naar uit.
Ja.
En ik weet zeker dat heel veel jongeren zich nu al verheugen dat jij daar komt met de New York Gospel
Singers.
Met de New
York Gospel Singers, ja.
Ik heb een cadeautje voor je. Dat is een boek wat Bobby Shuler heeft geschreven. Ieder mens is uniek en kostbaar in Gods ogen. Nou, dat heb je eigenlijk ook gezegd, hè? En zo zie je denk ik ook al die mensen die naar jouw theaters komen om te luisteren.
Ja.
Mag ik dit aan je geven?
Ja, zeker.
Nou, pas goed bij je kleur.
Bij mijn kleur.
Ja, is een mooi zaak. En dan, jouw moeder is op het ogenblik in Suriname.
Ja.
Je houdt veel van haar.
Ja.
Ja. Misschien moet je nog wat met haar goed maken. En Moederdag komt eraan. Dit is iets wat wij voor onze moeders hebben bedacht. Dat is mooi, hè?
Ja. Het ziet er heel mooi uit. Voor een,
Believe, love staat erop. En het is om aan je tas te klippen. Of aan je sleutelhanger.
Voor mijn moeder dan, hè?
Ja, je hebt het goed gehoord.
Bedankt.
Ja.
Ja.
We gaan jou weer zien in de spot die nu volgt over de tournee van Bobby Shuler.
Kom en ervaar Hour of Power live. Ontmoet elkaar en Bobby Shuler op een van de avonden. De presentatie is in handen van Jan van der Bos en het thema is Je bent geliefd. Geweldige artiesten treden voor u op. uit Amerika soliste Sarah Grand Prix van het Hour of Power Corps. En Remco Harms, bekend van LA The Voices. En op onze grote podia, de swingende New York Gospel Singers. Bestel nu uw kaarten en kom op dinsdag 21 juni naar Drachten. Woensdag 22 juni naar Gouda. Of op vrijdag 24 juni naar Veenendaal. Bel nu 035 538 0588 of ga naar www.hourofpower.nl.
I'm walking through the park. I brought my camera. My video camera. Bought a laptop and a video recorder. Wanna take some pictures of the great big beautiful trees, great big beautiful waterfall, maybe some bears. It's a lovely park, but I can hardly take time to take pictures. I'm slapping away the gnats, those nasty little gnats. Slapping away the gnats, just like I slap away the people who are not like me. Just like I slap away those circumstances that make me uncomfortable. Just like I want to slap away the pain. And so it seems I can't stop slapping, slapping, slapping gnats. And I don't quite know why, but I gave up slapping. And now I stand absolutely still. I dropped my heavy bag on the ground. And I'm doing my best to make a pact with a gnat. You can have my face, but please not my eyes. And all at once, standing absolutely still with a gnat on my face, I can hear the waterfall. I can hear the flowing river. I can hear the birds, feel the breeze. Oh, little gnat on my face, teach me to be present. Oh, little gnat on my face, teach me to be simple. Oh, little gnat there on my face, teach me to make my decisions and to be bold before I'm old. I'm walking through the park. I left my bag behind. It's just me and the gnats. Looking at the trees, listening to the waterfall, listening to the river. On a day in the park.
Well, we're so glad you're here today, and we want to just remind you that church is a place where you get realigned with God's love and power. This is a place where you should feel lifted up and encouraged. Even in our weakness, even in our mistakes, God wants by His Holy Spirit to transform us and give us what Christ called eternal life. So I want you to know that you made a good decision being in church today, and we're so glad you're here.
And now would you join us in our confession of faith? If you can put your hands out like this as an act of receiving. I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share His love with the world.
Thanks, Hannah. Thanks, everyone. You may be seated. I have the coolest wife. And we should get you to preach someday. Today I want to encourage you to live a wondrous life. Jesus calls this eternal life. And too often we make the mistake that eternal life only happens when I die. In truth, Christ invites us into a new life today that is so filled with joy and power and peace that even when you die, you go on to live with Him in heaven. Eternal life is something that is made available today. And I want to encourage you that you have a wondrous life waiting for you. A wondrous life waiting for you in the person and presence of Jesus Christ. And He's making it available to you today. So choose today to walk in this amazing life in Christ Jesus. If you were to try and sum up Jesus' message in His earthly ministry, it would be this. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the heavens, the two are interchangeable phrases that Jesus uses all the time. Almost every parable He begins, He says, the kingdom of God is like this. Constantly, Jesus is talking about this new kingdom that's breaking into this old kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and that with Jesus is coming, in His very person, with Him as the king, with Him on the throne, is coming this new world or this new life that is going to change everything. And everywhere He goes, He's inviting people to live in this celebration, in this joy, in this kingdom of God. We live in the world that God created. All around us is the world that God created and the world that God loves. And in this world, there is a death and a corruption that was not brought here by God, but God still loves this world and still plans to redeem this world. All of us experience a little bit of heaven when we're in some of the most beautiful parts of this world that God created. As we walk through this world, we experience through creation God's what we call common grace, God's love to all of us, even if we're not Christians, even if we're not religious. There is something powerful about creation when we walk around and go into some of those beautiful parts of the world. Recently, I was in Yosemite, my favorite place on earth, and I went in the winter. I had to go up there for a funeral, so I decided to go up a day early and spend the day there, and I was going to like get all this writing done and get all this work done. I pictured myself sitting by a fireplace and just typing away, and guess how much work I got? Zero. Because when I was there, there was like waterfalls, but snow and rocks and bears and just trees, and it was amazing. It was like being in this amazing winter wonderland, and I just felt God calling out to me through creation that in Yosemite, I could tell that even though there were no people around, that the Lord was at work in this beautiful space, even though nobody was seeing it. Have you ever had an experience like that? Think about it. In your life, a time in which you were looking, I don't know, at the ocean or mountains or a field of flowers or trees. Have you ever had a moment where you just, through creation, you experienced somehow a touch from God? Well, Jesus did this all the time. He always used the mountains and the fields and the animals to help people understand that the kingdom of God is breaking into this world and that God intends to save Yosemite and that God intends to save this world. He's working on it through the church and through us even now to save this world. All of that to say that all creation testifies as a daily ongoing miracle of God's power in this world. And that what's made available to you today is to live a life of awe and wonder. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be healthy. You don't have to be perfect in order to experience the wondrous life that God is making available to you today. All you have to do is choose to say yes to what God wants to give you today. Job 12, 7 through 10 has this wonderful passage. And Job says, "But ask the animals and they will teach you. Or the birds of the sky and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. Which of these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every creature and the breath of all mankind." It's almost like Job is saying, like, everybody knows that everything is in God's hands. How can you be so blind? That we actually almost have to choose to ignore the common grace or the obvious message to all people through creation to become agnostic or atheist in our view of life and to live in a small, withered world that doesn't exist. What's really made available to us is a wondrous life and a wondrous world in the person of Jesus Christ. And he wants this life for you today. So choose today to live a wondrous life. Many people sit around and they say, you know, someday I'm going to be happy. Someday I'm going to retire. Someday my life is going to matter. Someday I'm going to do great things. Someday I'm going to live. Someday is today. Someday is today. It's up to you. I keep using the term wondrous life because the term wonder literally means, as a noun, it means a miracle. A wondrous life is the kind of life that notices miracles. Many of us have become blind to the miracles in our daily life. You know, it's a miracle that if you put a seed in the ground and walk away, in a few years' time, it could become a giant redwood. There are amazing things happening in the world, but few of us choose to see that there is an incredible spiritual power behind all of the many miracles that are happening in our lives. We shrug them off all the time. We live in a miraculous world, and miracles are happening in your office. They're happening when you drive. They're happening in your relationships. But too often, we're blind. We don't see them. And this morning, God is asking you to open your eyes and to take notice of the miracles that are happening. That's what happens when you have a wondrous life. When you come in tune with the miracles that are happening in your life, in spite of all of the bad stuff that is happening, a new life begins to bubble in your heart. C.S. Lewis talks about how one time he was stuck in his garden shed, and he got locked in, and all he could see was this beam of light shining through the shed in a dusty room. And he realized that, like, if he looked along the light, and imagine if he was born in the shed, say, that he may think the only thing that exists is this little beam of light. He said he was looking along the light. But then he decided to look through the hole by which the light was coming, and out he saw, you know, his garden, and he saw all, nature, you know, all this beautiful stuff. And he said, that's what our world is like. There are some people who think that in this little shack, there's all that there is, and all there is this little beam of light. They look along the light. But what they ought to do is look into the light and see that there's something really wonderful behind. And friends, I want to tell you that there are a lot of really smart people who trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and live a wondrous life every day, not bound by many of the trappings of this world. And so I want to make a call to everyone this morning to live a wondrous life, to live the kind of life that every day when you get up, you experience God and His life and His power in your work, in your travels, in your study, and your relationships, that everywhere you go, you're able to see and experience the eternal life made available in the kingdom of God, that it's like you're drinking from it freely as you would drink from a river. And if you want to live this kind of wondrous life, I think there are four things you can do, and I'm calling these the four movements of the wondrous life. and I'll go through them quickly. The first movement is to move from being distracted to being present. You know, one of the great things about the example of Jesus was that he was really interruptible. He was present with everyone that he met with. As a pastor, I recognize that this was a big challenge. Because when you're in ministry, you always have things you need to do, things you need to get to. But people interrupt you with a prayer request or a testimony or a glad hand or a hey, how you doing? And I'm astonished at Jesus that he's able to delay the things he's supposed to do in order to be present with the people that interrupt him. He teaches us that very often God is in the interruptions. And although you have your goal, God may have a different goal in mind for you. In other words, when people that matter to you are with you, be present with them. Be where you are. We're always somewhere else in our heads, aren't we? We're never where we are, especially when we're suffering. Be where you are. And this will bubble up in you an understanding that right where you are, God is there too. I remember all the time my son, Cohen, he'll say, Dada, and I'll be like working on something, you know, watching something. Dada, Dada, and it gets louder. Dada, and pretty soon he's on my lap, nose to nose, saying, Dada. That's how children are. Children make you listen to them. They will not relent until you hear what it is that they're saying. Adults don't do that. I sort of wish they would. Because what happens for when we become adults usually is we simply feel rejected and we walk away. The people that matter in your life that you're too distracted to be present with are usually not going to tell you that they feel wounded because you're not present with them, you're somewhere else. We're always in a hurry, aren't we? Always trying to get somewhere. Always trying to prove something. Always trying to accomplish some goal. And in the midst of it all, the people we do life with feel forgotten, or they feel like they're the distraction. The people in your life are not a distraction, and they're not a means. They are God's ambassadors to you, and sometimes are trying to draw you into the wondrous life. Be present. I once heard somebody say that. Flying takes the travel out of traveling. Well, I think flying through life takes the life out of living. Slow down. Be where you are. The first movement is to stop being so distracted and be present. The second movement is to move from a cluttered life to a simple life. We are very, very cluttered here in America. What is happening to our world in a country where more is not enough? Every day, people get more and more, and it's still not enough. And our cabinets and our drawers and our cars and our houses and our lives become cluttered. And that is a symbol of what's very often happening in our own life. We say yes to everything when we don't have a yes to give. We're constantly going and doing, and yet we never rest. Our lives, our minds, our hearts, our spirits are cluttered. We tell God, I don't have time to pray. Well, you have the same amount of time everybody else has. It's time isn't found, time is made. There's this great story when the Soviet Union and the U.S. were in a space race, and the U.S. was trying to figure out how to write with a pen in outer space. So they spent tens of millions of dollars developing a pen that would write in space. And you know what the Soviet Union did? They brought a pencil. That's a true story. You don't need as much stuff as you think you need. The next movement. So move from distracted to present. Next, move from cluttered to simplicity. Third, move from procrastinating to deciding. Make a decision. When Joshua is entering the promised land, the Jewish people are, Hebrew people are, he's saying, many of you are spending your time worshiping idols and also worshiping Yahweh. And he says, we're about to enter the promised land. And I'm telling you today, choose this day who you will serve. You cannot serve both. And he says in the famous line, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is the great thing about Christ Jesus and about the scriptures as a whole. The word of God is constantly challenging us to make a decision. I grow concerned that our society every year seems to be more hesitant to make some of the most important decisions. We forget sometimes that not making a decision is a decision in and of itself. And I think for many of us, the reason we don't have the joy and the fullness of life that we ought to have is because we're trying to choose everything. But you have to choose one thing. Many of us know that there's a decision that we've had to make for a long time, but we haven't made that decision. And God is calling you today to make a decision. Stop waiting to do the next right thing. Stop waiting. There is absolutely a time for patience and a time for wisdom and a time for reflection. But procrastinating is not patience. Procrastinating is putting off something you know you should do because you're afraid or you're dreading doing that thing. Patience is wisdom in making a decision, and there's a huge difference. I think that procrastinating is one of the biggest destroyers of joy in the world today. So many of you today, you've had this week, and there's a decision, a choice, a fork in the road. You have to go left or right, and you haven't made that decision. And today God is calling you, choose. Choose. So the first movement is from distracted to being present with people. The second is from being cluttered to being simple. The third is stop procrastinating and make a decision. And finally, the fourth is to move from certainty, or rather from uncertainty, to boldness. Did you know certainty is almost always a deception? All of us, when we make some of the choices that we have to make or we want to do some of the things that we want to do, we want absolute certainty that everything's going to be okay. Certainty is almost always a deception. In fact, if you're absolutely certain about something, there's probably some aspect of what you're doing in which you are deceived. It is better to be uncertain in the things that you're doing. That way you're prepared. In other words, many of us, we're called to do great things, but we're so afraid to take a risk. And so we sit back and we analyze and we go over and over and over, the same things over and over. But what if God is asking you to act in faith rather than certainty? What if God is asking you to do something and just saying, trust me? The scriptures say, be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. If you live every day distracted, cluttered, procrastinating, indecisive, and wanting to be certain about everything, you will never enter the kingdom of God. You will never inherit the glorious power and life of the Holy Spirit if you need to have everything planned for you ahead of time. Friends, a wondrous life is available to you today, and you don't need many of the things that you think you need. So take hold of it. Take hold of the life that's made available for you in Jesus Christ. Come to life in Him, I ask. Many of you are watching on TV. You are riddled with guilt and sin and all of this stuff. And maybe you're flipping the channel and you're just hearing me now. And I want to offer you a new life. And I'm going to invite you and invite the whole church to pray with me to give our lives to the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me? Repeat this prayer after me. Father, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. Teach me to follow Jesus' way. Give me eternal life in your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want to be saved. In Jesus' name. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And you're coming in and you're going out. And you're lying down and you're rising up. In your labor and in your leisure. In your laughter and in your tears. Until that day you come to stand before Jesus, in which there is no sunset and no dawning. Amen.
Een inspirerende toespraak van Bobby Schulen. Ik herkende me er zelf al in. Je bent de hele dag druk bezig met social media, met vrienden, met je werk. En dat slokt je op. En dat hij vraagt. En daarvoor heb ik bewust een pauze. Het leven is uit verwondering. Nou, dat moet ik leren en misschien jij ook. Ik vertelde al, ons nieuwe Hope magazine is net uitgekomen en dit magazine kun je gratis aanvragen voor vrienden. Er staat een heel mooi interview in met Henny Huisman over wat hij gelooft, wie Jezus voor hem is. En een interview met Sarah Grand Prix, die komt zingen tijdens de Bobby Tour. En heel veel meer mooi nieuws. Een mooi, fris magazine en we laten nu een scroll, zoals dat zo mooi heet, meelopen, zodat je kunt zien hoe je het kunt bestellen. Vrienden van Hour of Power, heel hartelijk bedankt voor het kijken en ik hoop tot volgende week. Dan is onze gast Rolf Imara. Het is een herhaling van een hele boeiende uitzending waarin hij vertelt hoe hij vluchtte uit Irak en hoe hij nu vreest voor zijn landgenoten die door ISIS worden vervolgd. Een hele goede zondag.
Wij hopen dat deze uitzending u heeft bemoedigd. Kijk volgende week weer naar Hour of Power met Bobby Schuller. Blijf in contact met ons via Facebook, onze website of bel ons. In onze webshop vindt u vele prachtige producten die u bemoedigen en inspireren. De boodschap van Hour of Power heeft wereldwijd impact op miljoenen mensenlevens. Wij danken de donateurs die het financieel mogelijk maken dat we ook in Nederland elke week te zien zijn op televisie. Wilt u ook dat Hour of Power kan blijven uitzenden? Word dan nu donateur.